The statesman will invent cheap lies, putting the blame on the nation that is attacked. And every man will be glad of those conscience-soothing falsities and will diligently study them and refuse to examine any refutations of them. And thus he will by and by convince himself the war is just and will thank God for the better sleep he enjoys after this process of grotesque self-deception. And this week's opening quote comes from Mark Twain. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, virtually every war that has ever been started on this earth has been started under false pretenses. It's been started because of a false flag event that has been blamed on someone who didn't do it to simply justify the annihilation of yet another nation. We saw this in World War I and World War II, every war since then. We saw it in the Vietnam War, where America entered into the Vietnam War due to the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which was an incident that never even happened. We saw it when the Jewish settlement ships left Europe and went down to colonize Palestine. We saw the ships attacked by British forces, blamed on the Palestinians, in what was known as Operation Embarrass. And this is, of course, what set the persona up, the mindset for the world to view Palestinians as terrorists when they're not. We saw the Levon Affair, which was a false flag attempt at creating conflict within the government of Egypt by Israel. We saw the incident where Israeli Mossad agents put a radio behind Gaddafi's bunker, broadcasting terrorist propaganda, which was blamed on Gaddafi and resulted in the bombing of Libya by President Reagan, due to an incident that was carried out by Israel and blamed on Gaddafi. We saw the Israeli attack against the USS Liberty that they attempted to blame on Egypt. We saw the entire fake war on terror begin because of an Israeli attack against the United States in the form of the 9/11 attacks, which was then blamed on Muslim countries. Many people are fully aware of the attack that was going to be blamed on Cuba that was thwarted by JFK, known as Operation Northwoods. And even on a smaller scale, we saw the Babies Overboard affair here in Australia, which was a complete fabrication. Now, when you really start looking at these things, folks, you find them everywhere. Virtually all terror attacks that have been staged recently have been false flag attacks, the Charlie Hebdo affair, even the attack against the pizza store with Pizzagate. I mean, it just goes on. And now we are seeing the same thing, the same situation contrived with the confrontation that is about to unfold against Iran. Donald Trump has simply cooked up false pretenses, is going in there to wage Israel's war for them because Israel has always wanted to wage a war against Iran. This seems to be what Netanyahu lives for. And just last week we saw an incident where some Saudi vessels were bombed, probably by Israel, and of course it was blamed on Iran. This, of course, the one thing that they said, do not do this or we will want to go to war with you. So, of course, Iran goes and does it, naturally. No, of course they didn't, folks. It was set up to look that way. And you can always pick these things when they're going to happen, folks. Whenever the mainstream media says that there's a red line that the power that we are threatening must not cross, you can always be sure that they're about to cross that line themselves to create the excuse to go and attack the country. That's why they mention it on the news to begin with. They want you to make you aware that this red line exists, just so you'll notice when the people that they just warned not to cross it just suddenly happen to cross it right on cue and create the excuse that the government needs to carry out their attack. This is the way it works, folks, and it's like clockwork. And we can see a very, very tense situation unfolding in the Persian Gulf, and it would very much appear that the United States and Israel are determined for this war to happen. I mean, let's face it, Benjamin Netanyahu has been lying through his teeth for years upon years in any attempt he can muster to try to kickstart a conflict with Iran. And something very noticeable is that the fact that they have sent the USS Abraham Lincoln to the Persian Gulf. The Abraham Lincoln is an aircraft carrier, quite an old aircraft carrier, folks. It's about 30 years old and it's probably due for decommissioning. And that seems like an interesting choice of aircraft carriers to send to the Persian Gulf. And I would fully expect the USS Abraham Lincoln to be sunk in the Persian Gulf and blamed on Iran as a means of kickstarting the war against Iran. This, of course, will be crossing the line that they tell you not to cross. And think about it, folks. If there is a US war fleet positioned in the Persian Gulf threatening Iran with missile attack, the last thing Iran is going to do is to want to provoke the United States into bombing them. So if anything does happen in the Persian Gulf and any of those ships, such as the USS Abraham Lincoln, goes down, you can bet your bottom dollar that the event has been staged by either the United States or Israel, and it's a false flag event that has been designed to kickstart the war and provide the excuse for this to happen, to get the people behind it, to make the American people feel like it's justified to go and destroy yet another 10 or 20 or 50 million, however many people they can kill, and to go and destroy yet another nation and impoverish another group of people that never did anything wrong to the United States. The thing is, though, if the United States does attempt to kickstart this war with Iran, it's not going to go well for the United States. It's not going to be like the other wars, because if this happens, you can guarantee that Russia and China and Pakistan will get involved as well. And you could even see bombs falling on New York City and LA and cities in the United States. If Donald Trump actually pushes this war to begin, you could well see bombs falling on US cities. And it's going to be a very, very different situation than any war the Americans have experienced before, because all of the wars the United States have fought have all been fought on foreign soil. The people of the United States really have no clue what war is really about, because it's not something they've experienced in their own country. And of course, all they will experience of the war, if they do experience it in their own country, will be the bombs falling. They won't have anyone there to protect them, because Donald Trump has said that he will send troops in there. Actually, it was reported by the New York Times that he was prepared to send 120,000 troops to Iran, but Trump has come out and said, no, that's fake news. But if he did send troops, he would be prepared to send a lot more than 120,000. So whether that's a good sign or a bad sign is another question. But either way, Trump is fully prepared to send American sons and daughters to die in the Middle East in the name of Israel's war against Iran, so they can go to Iran to kill other sons and daughters of other people who don't really want to be involved as well. And of course, the goal is to sacrifice as many of them as they can. And that's just what war is all about. War is demented madmen waving their diseased and mindless egos around. And I think we should have one international law, and that is that war is illegal, and anyone who attempts to start one gets immediately arrested and thrown in jail for the rest of their lives. I mean, that'd be a great way to end war, and that would be a great path for all of these world leaders to go down. And honestly, folks, if you are in the military, quit, because your profession is completely and utterly stupid, and only stupid people are in the military, because the military is a very stupid pastime and a very unnecessary pastime created by stupid people for stupid people in order to go and do stupid things. And the issue is that if the military didn't exist, if people weren't programmed and stupid enough to actually go and join this psychopathic, demented, mass-murdering depopulation machine disguised as a profession, then none of these wars could be fought to begin with. That's just the way it is, folks. It only happens because we join the military and we go and fight for these psychopaths. We go and murder for these psychopaths. We just go and kill people we've never met for no reason whatsoever because our government told us we should do so. It seems that many people just have no problem going overseas and destroying foreign countries and murdering foreign people for no reason whatsoever. But if Donald Trump can push this, then you're going to see it coming to a town near you, which is a very, very dangerous situation. It's going to be a very, very world-changing situation if this happens. But of course, it will very much support the new trade agreements, the Chinese One Belt, One Road system they want to bring online, and it will create a lot of jobs in America because you'll have to build the country back up again. And won't that be wonderful? You'll have zero unemployment. Think about the benefits. Great way of removing the US dollar as the global reserve currency and bringing on the Chinese social credit system around the world as well. So there are all sorts of reasons why this situation is being contrived. And it's all theater, folks. Theater for the masses. Everything these governments do is all part of the same puppet show because they all work together. And it's all to achieve a common goal, which is blanket lockdown, blanket surveillance, and blanket social crediting right around the world. All, of course, brought to the people under the specter of fear and the need to protect them from the terrible terrorists and criminals that are out there trying to take their freedoms away when really it's all being run by government. One big puppet show, folks. And of course, you've also got to look at this from a political perspective. I mean, there's nothing like a good crisis to get the people to rally behind a president who's losing popularity, or perhaps maybe being subject to some type of investigation. Look what we saw in New Zealand recently. Jacinda Ardern was being booed and barred by all of her countrymen, and then suddenly there's a terror attack and she's the most popular prime minister they've ever had. Same thing happened here with the Bali bombing. John Howard was suddenly exalted as a great leader because he was suddenly seen as someone who was protecting the country. All you really got to do is start some sort of a war, then march out and terrorize the rest of the world, and your country seems to love you. So looking at it as a political maneuver, the timing with this is impeccable as well. And you can imagine the human cull that will happen from any war that does break out with Iran. You know, if there is going to be a war with Iran, very simple, Trump should go and fight it himself. And so should Benjamin Netanyahu and the entire Israeli cabinet. These people, all the people, Bolton, all the people who want war, we give them all a ball-peen hammer and a bottle of water and a packet of noodles, perhaps one of those military ration packs. They can use that so they can sit down and have a snack for lunch, and they can all go on Christmas Island. We get all the people in Iran and Russia, anybody who wants to be involved in this war, they can all go into Christmas Island as well. We give them all a ball-peen hammer, and they can have their war. I mean, that's the way it should be fought, folks. We don't need these demented psychopaths destroying the world any more than what they've already done. And if anyone thinks Trump is your friend, just consider the fact that this brainless intellectual midget now wants to go and destroy another country, and he wants to send American troops over there to murder and to be murdered just because he thinks it's a good thing to do. And it's going to improve the world. It's a wonderful thing to do to the world, folks. I can see all sorts of gardens growing from this. I can see the whole world situation becoming all peaceful and fuzzy straight away, as soon as we start murdering another nation. I mean, what the hell is wrong with this moron? And how could anyone still be supporting such a brainless fool, honestly? Anyone who starts a war, folks, these people just are not worth the air that they breathe. They really are not. War is such a stupid pastime, waged by stupid people for false pretenses, and every war is the same. And any politicians who support these type of activities are simply idiots who need to be kept in kennels somewhere with lower life forms or something. You know, we don't need these sorts of people destroying the world. We don't need these sort of people destroying the minds of people with all the rubbish that they feed them. And the media, why isn't the media doing something about this? You know, the mainstream media is as guilty, if not more guilty, than the politicians, because they're the ones who push all this rubbish into the minds of the people. In fact, that seems to be the main activity of mainstream media these days, is pushing the propaganda of war, which is, in fact, one of the most serious war crimes you can commit, because without the propaganda of war, none of the atrocities could take place. It's the media's support for the government line all the time, rather than questioning what the government is doing, and rather than doing their job, which is really causing so much of this problem. This is what is controlling the minds of the people and getting people to support this type of grotesque manipulation of truth and this grotesque parasitic force that is masquerading as government across our world. You know, as I said, folks, war is stupid and it's fought by stupid people. War is mass murder on a national scale, whereby it's okay to go into a country and just shoot people you don't know, rape, pillage and plunder and murder people you've never met at the behest of some scumbag running your country who says, we must do this because it's going to make the world safe. I mean, how stupid can you possibly be to even want to go and do this? How stupid are the people who believe the government is actually doing this to protect the world? No war is being done to protect anybody. War is absolutely grotesque. War is mass murder. It is training people to commit mass murder and think that it's okay. It's ridiculous. And how anybody could support this is beyond all rhyme or reason. And again, folks, why are we not hearing anything from the media about this? All we're hearing is the media parroting the stupid line that the stupid people, the criminals masquerading as government, are pushing on the people of the world. And it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening to see this sort of debased mental attitude being sprouted by people who are put on television to just feed bullshit to the masses, and it's absolutely sickening to see how many of the masses are actually prepared to swallow this crap. But of course, no one can report the truth on it, can Adam? There can be all sorts of war crimes carried out throughout this war and no one will be able to blow the whistle on it either, because they've just set the new precedent, the new legal standard, by the very public arrest of Julian Assange, who they have prosecuted for simply blowing the whistle on government corruption and indiscriminate murder being carried out by order followers within the US military who don't have the brains to think for themselves and simply do whatever they're told and kill whoever they're told to kill because they're stupid. And so that's the new precedent that's been set by these demented morons in the media and the criminal cabal masquerading as government. Yes, we're just going to go and kill people. We're going to do whatever we want. And if you report it, if you report our crimes, we're going to call you a criminal and you're going to let us do it because you just let us do it with Julian Assange and nobody made a peep about it. All the independent media did was throw their conspiracies out and say, well, you can't trust Assange. He's this and he's that. They don't even know. They have never met him. And the point is that it's a man who's been put in jail for telling the truth. That's the point. The point is that it's changed the entire international legal system. That is the point of the Julian Assange arrest. And that's the point that people don't seem to want to look at because they're just too stupid. But this war is going to take things to a whole new level, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. Riding on the back of the Assange arrest, riding on the back of Christchurch, riding on the back of all of the internet lockdown and destruction of freedom of speech and censorship that's happening all over the place, this is going to take things to a whole new level. But of course, it also takes the heat off everything else, doesn't it? I mean, not too many people are going to be worried about the 5G smart surveillance prison system social credit reality being rolled out around them because they're going to be too distracted with this fake war that's just been manufactured against Iran. People just sit there and eat popcorn and get excited about the bombs dropping the way they did in the Gulf War. And they'll just believe anything the media tells them and think that it's all good because they're just stupid and they support the government line. You know, people actually think Iran is a threat when nothing could be further than the truth. The real threat is the United States and Israel and the whole Western military system, and it always has been. And all you've got to do to verify that fact is look at the state of the world, folks. Look at how many people and how many countries that have been destroyed by this psychopathic system, and there's all the evidence that you need. But people don't see it, so they'll just sit there and they'll watch it and they'll eat popcorn and they'll just allow everything to go on around them and they'll just be distracted by the whole thing the way they always are. So it works on all sorts of levels. You know, all of this stuff is to distract us and to cull the population and to keep us believing that we actually need government here to protect us from all the problems that government creates itself to create the concept that we actually need these people. As once said by Plato, when the tyrant has disposed of foreign enemies by conquest or treaty and there is nothing to fear from them, then he's always stirring up some war or other in order that the people may require a leader. And no truer words have ever been spoken, folks, really. And that's the situation that we're in. You know, the real problem here is government, you know. And even with all of the animosity that I'm displaying against Cronald Blump, I mean, Flump is a puppet. He's a puppet of the whole globalist agenda anyway. All of these politicians work for the same people. It doesn't really matter if they put a different face on the coin. Ultimately, all roads lead to the same place in the end. And Klump's actions in supporting this whole international war machine should make that very obvious to everybody. You know, and it's not just the United States either. You know, you've got everything that I've just said about Israel, and it's the same in my country. I mean, this country is run by the same criminal cabal that sits in place everywhere else, the same criminal cabal that's in place run by whatever that thing is that they call a prime minister in England. And it's difficult to motivate the people anyway. You know, I lovingly call this country Apathralia because of the complete failure of these people to notice what's going on around them and the whole she'll be right attitude of this country as their freedoms get stripped from them every moment of every day. I mean, we do have some groups that are forming here. We do have some people that are finally waking up out of their slumber and standing up and paying attention. But ultimately, when looking at the bigger picture, it's a pretty apathetic country overall, and it's the same in most places. So the only reason I'm directing so much animosity at Glump at the moment is because he is the one who is in control of the world military machine, the New World Order military machine, the globalist military machine that is the United States of America. And because he's the president, doesn't matter how much of a puppet he is, doesn't matter how much bought and paid for he is, doesn't matter how many people think he's playing 4D chess and he can't do this and he can't do that and they have to prepare to do the right thing, you could actually just speak the truth. And anybody who's attempting to kickstart another war is not someone who's attempting to speak the truth. It's not someone who has any integrity or any compassion for humankind at all, and even why would we expect him to have any compassion for humankind anyway? He's been supporting the genocide of Yemen to a ridiculous amount for the last couple of years anyway, and he doesn't seem to give one single hoot about how many Palestinians are destroyed by the rogue state of Israel either. So his actions really do speak louder than his words. And it's disturbing to see how many people support him and how many countries support him as well. As I said, my own country, Australia, New Zealand, Britain, a lot of people are supporting this dramatic decline in human intellect that is the potential war with Iran. Good to see there's a lot of people that don't support it, though. There's a lot of people in the world that are up in arms about this. A lot of countries across Europe, a lot of people are saying, hey, no, this isn't right. So hopefully a lot of people will realise that the leaders of their countries simply don't have anybody's best interests at heart and that all these people are working for the same goal. Now, hopefully it will cause some sort of awakening to happen. It will cause the people to all put on yellow vests around the world and tell their governments that it's time for them to leave this environment and go live somewhere where they're not going to disturb the rest of the world with their warmongering antics and psychopathic anti-freedom, anti-life legislation that they seem to like to introduce everywhere under the pretext of keeping people safe from themselves. You know, if you really wanted to trace this whole thing back to its root cause, you could almost determine it as being a complete lack of empathy, the breakdown of empathy within the human mechanism, within human consciousness. Now, think of these wars. These are people living in houses, having bombs fall down from the sky, dropped by people they've never met, who are just destroying them for no reason whatsoever, simply because their government told them to do so. Now think about what it would be like if you're living in suburban LA or whatever and suddenly bombs start falling from the sky. You've got no idea where they're coming from, who's dropping them. And suddenly people arrive on your shore and start indiscriminately shooting people, raping the women, and just destroying the entire place and turning it to rubble. That is what war is. You know, war is governments making an agreement to go and depopulate each other's countries. During these wars, it's not military targets that get hit. They'll tell you it's military targets, but it's not. Look what they did to Iraq. They carpet-bombed Baghdad. Where were the military targets in that? Anything that moved was a military target. Look at what happened with the collateral murder video, the whole thing that's caused Assange to go to jail, the fact that these were Reuters reporters that were shot by these brainless morons in a US helicopter simply because they were carrying a camera. Oh, how stupid were they? They were outside and they were carrying something during a war. Well, it wasn't really a war. The war against Iraq wasn't really a war. It was just a slaughter of innocent people. It was an invasion, which is what the United States is doing now, sending a war fleet to the Persian Gulf and talking about sending troops into Iran. This is an open invasion of another country, a completely illegal move, a war crime, a war of aggression, being started by a brainless fool under false pretenses. It's the same thing, folks. And people will allow it because of their lack of empathy. They don't understand what it is. This is just sending sons and daughters in to kill other sons and daughters. It's sending people that have got no problem with anybody to war with other people who have no problem with them. That's what war is. You know, and if it was a real war, if they were really serious about it, if they really didn't like the Iranian government, they would just go and bomb the Iranian government buildings. That's what they would do. But they don't do that. They'll bomb everything except the government buildings, the way they've done in Syria, the way they did in World War II with England and Germany. They bombed the entire countries. They bombed Berlin to rubble. They bombed London to rubble. They bombed Dresden to rubble. But they didn't ever hit the Reichstag. They didn't ever hit number 10 Downing Street. They didn't ever hit Buckingham Palace. They didn't ever hit any of the key buildings of the people who were actually running the war. All they did was impoverish and destroy the civilians and destroy all of their homes, destroy all the infrastructure, just destroy the country to bring the economy back online so all the people could go to work after the war, rebuilding the country, and they could all borrow money from the banks to do it, the same banks that lent the governments the money to start the war to begin with. The whole thing is a scam, folks, and that's all this is. That's all this whole posturing against Iran is. It's just more depopulation by psychopaths that are carrying out the same agenda under false pretenses, and the people are letting them do it because of the lack of empathy of the people. People have just been trained to remove this from their consciousness. It's just not something that they think about. Now, people look at war and they don't look at it on a human level. They look at it on a political level. They believe the rubbish that the media tells them. They believe that these countries are actually a threat to them when they're not. It's just the governments, folks. It's the governments working together to depopulate their countries, and they use their own people to do it. Now, the soldiers that go away to war, they get built up as being this great thing, going to serve your country. Go and look at the suicide rate of war veterans in the United States. When these people come back from the war zones, the government views them as potential terrorists. They're treated as wonderful people when they're going off to war and when they're in military service, and they get all sorts of discounts at airports and all sorts of stuff. But as soon as they leave military service, they're treated as potential terrorists. Many of them are homeless, and many of them can't get war pensions. They're psychologically damaged, and they are completely discarded by the government because the government doesn't care about them. As once said by Henry Kissinger, military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. That is what they think about soldiers, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're in the military, quit. Because all you're doing is being trained to be a murderer at the behest of a psychopath who wants to destroy the world. Because that's what war is about. It's not about protecting your country. It's about destroying the old world, destroying the old infrastructure of what we can find of these past civilizations, such as Tartaria. It's destroying all of this, and it's about destroying people, destroying cultures, destroying infrastructure, destroying any trace of the past, and removing people of their roots, and bringing about blanket control, blanket censorship, blanket surveillance, and blanket everything across this world. And they're all working together to do it, folks. Government is not your friend. It doesn't matter what country you're in. Your government is not your friend. If your government was your friend, they'd be talking about things in a real way. They'd be calling these wars for what they are. They would be spilling the beans and saying just how contrived this whole situation is. And if, well, they're scared that they're going to get assassinated for doing so, well, they shouldn't have got the position to begin with. If they're not going to speak the truth, then they shouldn't be there. Now, the fact that there aren't politicians talking about this, there aren't any politicians calling these wars for what they are and saying how contrived they really are, how many politicians are speaking out against the Federal Reserve banking system, the whole fiat money system, and don't say Glump's doing it because he's not. Now, there's no politicians on this earth that are speaking the truth about anything. That should be a sign for everybody. It's time for us to pull support from these people, folks. You know, how many people are we going to let get murdered and destroyed in these continual wars until we choose to stand up and say something ourselves and call this what it is? Until we choose to stop supporting this system, until soldiers choose to stop picking up these weapons and going and murdering people, nothing's going to change. So really it does come down to this loss of empathy from the human psyche. We have to find some way of getting this back, folks. You know, we're all in this together. In Lakesh, we are all each other. And the harm that you do against other people is ultimately just harm you're doing against yourself. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. Excuse my ranting, but, well, I really don't like this specter of war that is being pushed on us. And I think someone has to say something about it. But as I said, we have reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so you must never join the military. Never join the military, and never allow anyone you know to join the military. Never go and become a soldier, a soul dyer. Or even a sold dyer, someone who's sold to die, and someone who goes out to kill other souls to ensure that other souls die. Why do you think they call them soldiers, folks? Look at the word, the soul dyer. You go out to kill other souls and to destroy and kill your own soul by committing murder against others. Because ultimately that's what a soldier is trained to do. When you enter the military, they take normal, everyday people and they train them to be murderers who have no problem whatsoever killing people that they've never met for no reason whatsoever, simply because they were told to do so. And these people believe they can get away with it and that it's all okay and, hey, I was just following orders. But what happens to these people when they come home and it hits them how many souls they've killed, how many people they've murdered? And it really does get to a lot of soldiers. We see the suicide rate is absolutely through the roof with returned soldiers because they come home back to the real world and they realize just what they've done. You know, and you're out there in a foreign country and there comes a foreign combatant, which is really just a person who's picked up a gun to try to defend his country against the force of mass murderers that are invading it, who are killing people indiscriminately. And of course, this is exactly what anyone would do in this person's position. And you shoot this guy and you've got no clue who he is. You don't know anything about his life, about his family, about his achievements, about his emotional state, about who he is at all. He's just someone that you were told to kill. You've just destroyed another soul and you've just put a black mark against your own for murdering another person. That's what soldiers, soul dyers are. They are mass murderers. They are normal people who've been programmed to act like psychopaths. And they go and do it and they carry out these psychopathic activities and they think that it's all good because they're wearing a uniform. And the uniform is covered in sigils, five-pointed stars, all sorts of occult references to make sure their soul does die. So you should never go and become a soul dyer for a corrupt and criminal government. And folks, you know your government is corrupt and criminal because it wants to wage a war. Any government that wants to wage a war is a corrupt and criminal government. That's a good rule of thumb. As soon as your government tells you you need to go to foreign shores and go to another country to murder people in order to keep your own country safe, you know you're dealing with a bunch of lying scumbags who need to be removed from office and put in jail. As I said, it's a good rule of thumb. And it works in our own countries as well. I mean, it works as far as domestic terrorism laws go as well, folks. You look at what the governments are doing to allegedly protect us from terrorism. They're removing every single right that you have, putting in mass surveillance systems because they need to know everything about everybody because the guy around the corner may be a suicide bomber or some mad terrorist who's going to shoot up a mosque or a shopping center or a school, and it's all contrived by government, folks. The whole thing has been set in place by the criminals who are running the system in order to just lock the human race down into this ultra-surveillance system. And the depths of this surveillance system is just going to freak people out. It really is. I mean, with the 5G stuff that they're putting in place, all of this 5G surveillance, it isn't just looking at your social crediting scores. It isn't just noticing how you walk or how you talk or what you look like or how you dress. It's also registering your heartbeat, your body temperature, your perspiration rate, all sorts of stuff so they can see if someone's even a little nervous in their company. Now, when cash is removed and it's all to do with social crediting and you cannot buy or sell anything without a card or a chip, then we are in a complete lockdown. We're in a prison system from that point on. Whether you're a criminal or not, you're all treated like criminals and we're in a prison system just by being out and walking around in the open. That's what these parasites are doing, folks. And government are parasites. That's what these murdering, mass murdering parasites are doing. I don't care what you want to call them. I don't care how much respect you believe you should have for politicians. These lying scumbags are parasites and they're locking the entire human race down so they can get away with the murder and the criminal activities that they continue to carry out because all of this stuff is contrived by these people, folks. And this whole system is being put in place in order to protect the criminals at the top so they can continue to carry out their criminal activities. That's what it's all about. None of it is being done to keep people safe. It's all being done to protect the so-called elite, who we shouldn't even be referring to as elite because they're not elite. They are parasitic scumbags. They are the scum of all society. They are the bottom of the barrel. And we shouldn't be giving these people any respect at all. But this is what's happening, folks. This is what this whole thing is becoming. Under the specter of war, the specter of terrorism, and the specter of all the stuff that they create, all the racial tension, the racial division, all the influx of migrants into all of our countries just to undermine each country, to upset the culture of each country, and to upset the people of each country, to make sure that there's different sections of society that can all be played off against each other. That's what all this multiculturalism is about. It isn't true multiculturalism because they're not coming in and integrating into your own culture. They're coming into various countries and setting up their own isolated areas, which will all be played off against each other when the time comes. It's like placing little bombs around the city, which will all be detonated when the government chooses to detonate them. And they can do it simply by putting the right article in the newspaper and stirring up the racial or religious tension between people. And they're very good at these activities. They do it all the time, tried and true. They've done it so many times in the past, and it's always worked for them, and it's going to continue to work for them until we begin to realize just how we're being played and how we're being manipulated into acting the way the government wants us to act in order that the government may then introduce the legislation it wants to introduce. Hegelian dialectic, folks. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Problem, reaction, solution. They do it all the time. Tried and true method. Been going on for years. And they continue to do it. And they will continue to do it until we realize it's happening and are prepared to actually call it out when we see it. And this happens on so many levels as well, folks. I mean, just look at any interaction you have with the local police force in your country, in your local city. I mean, these people will push you as far as they can to get a reaction from you so that they can arrest you and do whatever they want to do with you. I mean, we've got police officers here that show up to nightclubs when it's closing time simply because they know there's going to be drunk people leaving the nightclub, and they will just stand there and they will nudge people and provoke people until they get a reaction simply because they want to arrest someone so they can get their quota for the week. And this is someone who isn't a problem, wasn't creating a problem, but obviously they're a little drunk, so you can push them into a problem if you want to, and they roll up at the nightclub simply to create problems and to arrest people. And they do it, folks. They do it all the time. They roll up at nightclubs and they simply hang around outside on the footpath and wait for people to leave. And they just look at people and think, well, there's a target that we can use. We can just go and provoke this guy. And they do. And they just love to beat people up and arrest them in front of the crowd because it makes them feel good. And, of course, they get their quota for the month. And that's what they do. It's got nothing to do with the prevention of crime. What they're doing is actually going out and assaulting people and creating incidents in order to justify the existence of themselves. Scumbags, folks. Complete and utter scumbags. And certainly not anybody who's there to protect society. In fact, quite the opposite. And society would be far better without these type of people. I mean, sure, we need police of some form, but not the scumbags that are populating the force at the moment. Absolutely not. But this is the type of activities that these people get up to. And they've always got it well planned. Why do you think the riot police always show up at a protest? Why do you think they call them the riot police? And why do they show up at a peaceful protest? I mean, there's no riot happening. It's a peaceful protest. And then the riot police come because they're going to start a riot. That's what they do. That's why they call them the riot police, because they're there to start a riot. They do it right on cue. The mass media scumbags come down there and lie through their teeth and put this story on TV so all the people will think the protesters are just violent, out-of-control scumbags who we shouldn't listen to. I mean, really, it's the other way around. The government and the police are the violent, out-of-control scumbags, and this is the way they play it every time, folks. You know, it's so easy for them to just commit crime and to arrest you for whatever reason they want to arrest you. They can just tell you to do something which is completely ridiculous. And if you don't do it, they can say, well, you're not following orders and we can arrest you now. Because it's illegal to disobey a directive given to you by a police officer. I mean, a police officer can tell you to go and stand out in the rain, and if you don't do it, he can arrest you. I mean, a police officer can conceivably tell you to go take all your clothes off and stand on one leg on the side of the road. You know, you get to the point where you can't question the actions of a police officer, no matter how corrupt they are, and they arrest you for questioning their actions. You know, there'll be something here like you're not wearing a seatbelt, and they think, well, we're going to fine you for not wearing a seatbelt in your car because we want to keep you safe. But if you won't pay the fine and you won't put your seatbelt on, they're quite prepared to shoot you on the side of the road and kill you because you weren't wearing your seatbelt, and they want to keep you safe. That's the thing, folks. They will kill anybody. They will push it to the point that they will literally kill people for not following their orders when they're claiming that they're doing these things and putting these orders on the people in order to keep them safe. That's how demented these people are. I mean, modern police officers are terminally stupid, ladies and gentlemen. They really are. And if you think the police aren't terminally stupid, then you just ask, why don't they ever question the politicians for their actions? I mean, look at the way they literally fall over themselves to protect politicians no matter what they do, and then ask yourself whether these people actually have any brains. They don't. They're just trained to follow orders, and they think that they're very good and intelligent. They're being a good little lapdog if they do the right thing and do whatever the politician says, and they jump on command. This is the sort of people that are going to be running this whole social credit system. This is the sort of rules they're going to be putting in place for people. If we don't stand up and call it now, and we have to stand up and call it, folks. I mean, I've been putting out this message on the air for 10 years now on the radio, 11 years on the radio. Well, I'm into my 11th year anyway, and still people just aren't standing up and calling it, and it's getting to the point now where our backs are almost against the wall, and in another 18 months or 2 years, we're not going to have any way out of this system that we've allowed to be created around us. So it's very important that people start paying attention now. It's very important that people get active in this whole 5G stand that we're attempting to make around the world. And it's very important that people withdraw support from the military, withdraw support from any government that is supporting military action in any shape or form, because military action doesn't solve anything. Military action is simply soul sacrifice. Military action is mass murder on a national scale, being forced upon people by psychopaths and parasites masquerading as government. That's what it is, folks, and we can call it. We can stop it if we call it. And so it's time that we did. And people seriously need to put down their division with everybody else. They really do. If this so-called truth movement or so-called resistance is going to have any effect at all, people have to put down their division and allow other people within the resistance to think differently. Stop attacking people who have different perspectives, different ideas, different versions of how things may have gone down. Now, if we can't discuss things and put things on the table for open dialogue, then we're never going to get anywhere. And the last 5 or 6 years of the so-called resistance has shown that to be very much the case. Now, the ego that people have developed simply by adopting belief systems such as the Flat Earth Movement, the incredible ego of the Flat Earth Movement, daring to call anyone who hasn't closed their minds into the Flat Earth belief system as being diet truthers and diet woke, the division that this has created and the absolute brick wall these people have put up to any type of active resistance and then getting involved in any type of active resistance because they've completely divided themselves off from the rest of the world via their ego, it's been phenomenal to see. You know, the amount of division and the amount of animosity and hatred and the amount of accusations that come from people simply because they disagree with other people about finer points of whatever it is, some detail of something that they don't even know the truth about anyway, because nobody really knows the truth about anything because none of us are in a position to know the truth about anything. And all the information we got has been falsified and rewritten and given to us simply to create a lot of this division, I would suggest. I mean, a lot of the rabbit holes that are out there for us to go down are there simply to keep us running down rabbit holes and arguing with other people. It achieves the perfect result for the powers that believe they be, allows them to roll this whole system out. Even the amount of animosity we're seeing on social media now, the amount of hatred and bullying we're seeing on social media, which has all been created by creating all of these rabbit holes for people, giving all these different ideas for people, encouraging others to fight about them, and like, don't just disagree, really, really argue about it. I mean, this is like what you saw with me with the Christchurch thing, simply because I had a different perspective. It wasn't any discussion. It was not attack the guy, put the knife in the heart, take him out the back and crucify him because he thinks differently. That's the attitude that's been promoted, which allows all of this blanket censorship and control to come out. You've quite literally got troll farms running that are being run by Israel, being run by the CIA, where people will sit there and they'll watch your video clips and you'll have people come in there and totally support you and really, really promote what you're saying. And then other guys come in there and completely hack down what you're saying. And usually it's two people sitting at the same table in Langley or in Israel. Sometimes it's actually the same person on two accounts that are just there to push both sides because they want to encourage the fight. They want to encourage the argument. They want to get people to rally behind one argument and people to rally behind the other. And it's all done by design. All done to create division, to create animosity, and just to keep people distracted from looking at the big picture, to keep people tied up in argument rather than activism. And they always control it, folks. They always design it in such a way that's going to serve themselves. We even saw Trump saying now that the White House is putting out an app that they want you to report any social media censorship that's happening because of political viewpoints. So they've taken censorship and they've wrapped it up in the left and right political viewpoint under the pretext of actually doing the right thing. And of course it'll simply be according to your political preference because Trump doesn't want people who are promoting him to be censored for political bias because they're supporting him. But it won't be people in the truth movement. It won't be people who are actually calling both sides of the government as being the criminal scumbags that they are. It'll only be people who are supporting either the left or the right. So you can see how they tailor these things to make them look like they're actually there to prevent censorship. But really it's simply being put in place to refine the form of the censorship and make the censorship appear that it is being bipartisan across the board and unbiased, when really what it's all about is promoting just the government line and dispelling any criticism of the government line. What it's about is vilifying anybody in the resistance as being fake news and pushing them under the carpet and just brushing the truth aside. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and all of these maneuvers are politically motivated and they always have a deeper undertone. But as I said, folks, if you really want to look deeper at this and you really want to look at what the world situation is, as I said earlier, it really comes down to the removal of empathy from the human condition. Because if people still had empathy, none of this would happen. You know, even the division that gets created in the so-called truth movement, the division that is there between the flatters and the globers and the thises and the thatters and whoever, if people had empathy, then these divisions wouldn't exist. People wouldn't be prepared to go and simply nail someone to the wall and crucify them and hack them down and destroy them as much as they can simply because they had a different opinion to them. All of this attitude has been promoted by the powers that believe they be. It's been promoted by those who control social media, and it's all been done to put people against each other. Now, all of these activities are all designed to stroke people's ego and to promote the concept of superiority in people. If you adopt a certain belief system, then you're superior to the other people. They're lesser people. They don't really know as much as you know. You've got to be nice to them, be kind to them, but, well, don't worry about it because they'll never be as smart as you. It's like the Emperor's New Clothes concept, and this is what has been put into people's psyche, and it's all about the removal of empathy. If we still had empathy, we wouldn't be doing any of this. You know, we'd change the world in a day if we could just rekindle this emotion in people. I guess it just doesn't exist in some people, but it should. And perhaps if it did, then we would never have reached this point of human suffering that we are now in. And it may not appear like it's human suffering to you. You may be living in a nice suburb in a comfortable city somewhere, but if you step back and look at the world, folks, most of us are living in these comfortable environments at the expense of other people. And that's really not acceptable either, because there's no reason why anyone on this earth should be living their life in a state of discomfort, not in these days. There's no reason for any country to be subject to war. There's no reason for any people to be subject to poverty or starvation or scarcity. There just isn't any reason for this to happen. It's all contrived and designed by politicians to be that way, to create the type of environment where we believe we need these type of people to protect us from this sort of thing ever happening to us, when it's all been designed by them to begin with. And if we had empathy, and if we were allowed to express that empathy towards our fellow human beings, none of this would be here. None of this situation could continue. None of it would be tolerated. We'd change the world in a single day, simply by reconnecting with who and what we are. And this is something that I've been saying on air since the very first show that I did back in 2008. It's certainly been a long, slow path to get here, but I guess someone has to do it, and that's why I continue, and that's why I will continue to continue doing it. And a lot of people ask me why I bother doing what I do. You know, do I really believe that I can make a difference? And I guess really when it comes down to it, folks, is what I believe in is the power of the human spirit. And what I believe in is man's ability to wake up to who and what they are. I believe that everybody has an innate power within them. Everyone has this incredible creative spark. There's a reason for them to be here. Everybody who's here, there's a reason for them to have been born at this particular time. And everyone has a unique creative genius of their own, whatever that may be. If we had a real education system, these things would be found in people. These traits would be found, they'd be nurtured, they would be encouraged. And people would be put in situations where they can find their own creative genius and allow that to blossom and allow what they can do to help the world just happen by matter of course. And I think it would happen by matter of course. People want to create. People want to be seen as someone creative, and they want to be able to express themselves. And people don't do it because they often don't know what it is. A lot of people think they just don't fit in because they've never really been allowed to find themselves. and find out what their own unique creative spark is. This is why people are so frustrated. Well, they want to go out and kill other people, join the military and do all these things. They just want to have some sort of an outlet, you know, while they get into drugs, while they get into all the stuff they get into, extreme sports, whatever it is. These creative outlets, these expressions they want to have, because they simply have never been able to find that unique spark within themselves. They were never encouraged to do so. They were always trained to think within a certain box through the education system, and that is what has created so much of the problems that we see in the world today, simply because people have never been allowed to find themselves. And that's something that I've always encouraged in this radio show, something I've always said, the real problem that we have is that people simply do not know who and what they are. And as soon as people discover this, the world will change. It will change for them personally, and this will create ripples which will ripple out and change the world around them. We all have the ability to do this, folks, and that's why it's no point looking for someone else to come and save us. There's no point thinking that anyone can save us, because there's no one who can really discover ourselves for us. And as soon as we do discover our true self and discover what we really are, that's what will change the world. That's what will change everything, because it changes our paradigm. It changes our own mentality and perspective of what the world is and what our position in the world is. And once we realize this, once we realize the truth about ourselves and we remove stake in the outcome of all this stuff, all this political rubbish and all this economic rubbish, it's all just rubbish. It's just stuff that doesn't mean anything, folks. What is important is the human experience. And as soon as we discover this about ourselves, the world changes. It's really that simple. That's why so many people can't see it, because they cannot see the simplicity of the situation that we're in and how easy it would be to change that situation if we simply changed our perspective. I know I say it a lot, and it must get boring to some people, but really, that's the way out. When you see how we got here, what can I say? That's the way out. Once you see it, you just see it, I guess. What can I say? But anyway, folks, we have once again, reached that time of the day where it is now the end of the show. I'd like to put out a special message on this week's show for the Nakba, which was on May 15th. The Nakba is the day of the great catastrophe, the day the Palestinian peoples were expelled from their homes in 1948, the day when 700,000 people became refugees, and between 500 and 600 Palestinian villages were erased from memory. This is a very significant day in the history of the world, and a day that people should pay attention to. It was the day the rogue state of Israel was set up, illegitimately as it is, and the day when the modern world of government-sponsored terrorism began in earnest. A very, very significant day, so I'd like to put out a message and send out my very heartfelt thoughts to the people of Palestine. As I think I mentioned on a previous show, I'm going to be speaking in Brisbane on May 30th. I think I said April 30th on the last show, but obviously it's not April 30th, folks. That was last month. It's going to be May 30th. I'll be speaking in Brisbane. I think the event is at the Newnham Hotel, but I'll make sure there's details regarding that on the website. I'm going to be speaking there again with Natalie Vera and with Paul Seals, and Ray Broomhall, the barrister, will be joining us via Skype as well. I did hope to have Ray on the show this week, but I've had enormous amount of internet problems this week. It really has been quite bizarre, folks. Very interestingly, as soon as we did the 5G protests in the valley here, most of the internet seemed to go down for most of the people in the area. Perhaps they're trying to encourage us to want to get 5G rather than the phone lines. There's always a weird sort of coincidence that seems to happen with these things, but I've had an enormous amount of difficulty with internet this week, so I haven't been able to hook up with Ray Broomhall, unfortunately, but I'll try to get him on next week, folks. It's an ongoing process, but if we both work at it, I'm sure it'll happen eventually. Speaking of events, I'm also speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September this year, so that's something to look out for if you're in the United States. That'll be the only event that I'm doing in the United States this year. Although there is a chance I might get together and do some sort of a small talk in LA after that while I'm in the area. I don't know. Nothing is planned. But there is a chance that I could do something, some sort of a gathering in California while I'm in the area, simply because I have to go over to Spokane, Washington after the gig in Philadelphia, and so I'll be close to California. So I may well organize something, but I don't know, folks. As I said, I'll keep you posted. Nothing is organized as yet. It's just a thought in my mind. As always, I'd like to send out a thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails, and a special thank you to those who continue to support me on Patreon, because I could not do any of this were it not for my Patreon supporters. But that is it for me, folks. I've now completely run out of time, so I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Gash.